Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason out of the office today, so no update to the commodity markets. However, we do have a special program for you, the Commodity Outlook from the Illinois Farm Economic Summit, as made by Darrell Good.
As Todd said, I want to spend just a few minutes talking about the current situation and the outlook into 2016. And I want to talk basically what I call fundamentals of those markets in terms of supply, consumption, stocks, and price, and as it all relates to the balance sheet for the current year, and a first look at thinking for the 2016-17 marketing year, what that might look like. So we just start with corn. We have been reducing corn acreage here in the U.S. Since the peak in 2012. We've come down each year since then. The decline in 2015 was a little greater than anticipated, I think, because of the spring weather that we had. And we did end up with a couple million acres of prevent plant in 2015, so that helped reduce the planted and harvested acreage a bit more than intended early in the year. On the yield side, we've continued the last 3 years. As we've reduced acreage, we've experienced quite good yields on corn. 2013, we would say, was right on trend value for corn yields U.S. Both 2014 and 2015 were above what we would calculate as the trend yield for the period 1960 forward. So on one hand, we've made some attempt to reduce corn production by reducing acreage, but that's been primarily offset by very good corn yields the last 3 years. And so we have had, as most of us know, 3 consecutive years now of very large corn crops.
This is the Closing Market Report. You're listening to Darrell Good make his presentation from the Illinois Farm Economic Summit.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
I would point out that these are still preliminary forecasts on crop size. USDA will release their final estimate on January 12th this year, so we're about 4 weeks out from having the final numbers, and it's always a bit entertaining to see how the market is going to anticipate those changes. We would not expect that their acreage forecast would change very much. They've already incorporated the FSA certified acreage into their estimates of planted acres, so that number should be fairly firm. So the question will come down to, is the final yield estimate different from the November forecast? And folks have expectations, obviously, on both sides of that. Our work would suggest that we would not expect, certainly, a reduction in the yield forecast that we saw in the November report. So the best guess is that the final production estimate is going to be fairly close to the November number. Certainly, that has been the case historically, and all the available evidence would suggest that to be the case again this year. But that's the reason they do the report. We'll find out whether there are surprises or not, but I think expectations should be for a pretty static number. For the most part, then, the market is continuing to react to how fast or how slow are we using the 2015 crop.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Yovai Extension's Todd Gleason. Today we're listening to the Illinois Farm Economics Summit presentation made by Daryl Good on the 2016 corn and soybean outlook. We're discussing at this point corn consumption.
And as you know, we use corn mainly in three categories: exports, ethanol, and feed. When we look at export demand for corn, I think the only way to characterize it so far this year is slow. I think first quarter exports are going to be right at 300 million bushels. That will be the smallest first quarter exports since the really small crop of 2012. And then you have to go back to 1974 to find a smaller number for the first quarter than what we're having this year. So we're looking at a lot of competition in the world for corn supplies. We've got some competition from sorghum domestically. And with the currency values, we're at a little bit of a disadvantage. USDA projecting exports at a little under 1.8 billion bushels for the year, which would be smaller than what we've had the last 2 years. And frankly, we're struggling, I think, at this point to maintain that pace. But it is early. We just got one quarter under the belt. How the South American crop turns out will be extremely important for exports during the last half of the marketing year. We do need to see some acceleration there if we're going to reach the projection. We are, as I mentioned, fighting some competition. We have seen world grain production increase in recent years. The high prices that began in 2006-2007 have stimulated some response worldwide. Much of that increase is corn production in South America, particularly Brazil, which has been essentially for the export market. So that competition will persist through the remainder of this marketing year. The other major category that we referred to is ethanol. I think formerly ethanol and co-products use of corn. Obviously, we have seen a fairly rapid increase beginning in 2006-2007. You'd characterize the recent performance as probably plateauing to some extent on corn used for ethanol. We were down in 2012. Obviously, because of the short crop, we imported more ethanol, we used up stocks, but then use has rebounded back to that 5.1, 5.2 billion bushel level. For the current year, projected at 5.2, I think we will see ethanol production actually exceed what we produced last year, but we are seeing a little more competition from sorghum in ethanol production this year. It's not huge amounts, but it's going from basically zero last year because of high prices and good export demand to USDA is projecting about 75 million bushels of sorghum for ethanol production this year. So if that were all corn, we would be back closer to 5.3 billion bushels this year. Two good pieces of information, good news about ethanol demand. One is exports continue to remain robust. China has now emerged in the most recent month as the largest importer of U.S. ethanol. Canada usually has that role. They remain large. So that's a real plus for ethanol production. And the second is we are seeing continued expansion in domestic gasoline consumption. The lower prices that we're experiencing is triggering a larger than expected increase in driving and gasoline consumption. And since everything is blended basically at 10%, every gallon of gasoline is another tenth of a gallon of ethanol. So that is favorable. USDA had to raise their forecast of ethanol use last week because of a very robust production during the month of November. So I think going forward, maybe we have a little more optimism about ethanol use of corn because of gasoline consumption. Feed use of corn is where we basically have very little information about the rate of consumption at this point. That rate of consumption will be revealed in the December 1 stocks number to be released on January 12th as well. For the year, the USDA has projected use about equal to last year. We are seeing some expansion in livestock numbers, particularly hog production is up. We've got a few more dairy cows, more cattle on feed. Broiler chick placements are about the same as last year. Layer numbers are still down, still trying to recover from the bird flu episode. But overall, livestock numbers are a bit higher than last year. So I'm looking maybe when we see the December stocks number on January 12th, there could be a bit of good information there about our rate of consumption. Perhaps we are using a little faster than USDA projects. USDA does measure animal numbers in terms of grain-consuming animal units, and for the marketing year, that number is up substantially from last year. The problem is there's not a good correlation between feed and residual use of corn and grain-consuming animal units as measured by the USDA. So this does reflect that animal numbers are up, but it's not always highly correlated to the quantity of feed use. Bottom line, we will end the year, it appears, with an adequate supply of corn, projected to be just a smidgen higher than what we started the year. So we kind of got a status quo, 1.7, 1.8 billion bushels of corn in carryover. And as I've indicated in the past, anytime you're above 1.5, the market feels pretty comfortable about the supply situation. When you start seeing stocks projected below 1.5 and lower, then you start opening the door for a little bit of price action to the upside. But right now, we just don't see that tightness developing yet this marketing year. Price-wise, then, that results in projected price for the year about what we had last year. So a big crop, static consumption, static carryover stocks, and price at about the same level. Couldn't really get any more boring than what the corn market is looking at right now. That's kind of summarized in this balance sheet. I know that may be a little bit small, but I've got the 2015-16 balance sheet that summarizes all the numbers that we just went through, and it looks at that projection of year-ending stocks at just under 1.8 billion bushels and an average price of $3.65. And that's where we've been the first quarter of the year. That's where we are right now. And so the balance sheet says that's kind of where we stay for the foreseeable future. I'd like to say that prices will stay low until they increase. For right now, that doesn't seem to be on the near-term horizon. I've taken a stab at next year's balance sheet, 2016-17. And the questions will start with how many acres of corn will get planted next year. And a lot will yet be unfold to determine that. But where I start is basically with what were the intended acres in 2015. We ended up planting fewer than intended, but if we go back to 2016, where we thought we would start in 2015, that would give us about 800,000 acres more corn than we planted this year, about 800,000 more harvested. What do you say about yield at this point? I think really the starting point is what's the trend yield for 2016. Folks will have different calculations on that. Our calculation of trend yield is 167. That would give you a crop 13.6 billion bushels, about the same as we had this year. Beginning stocks, about the same as we had this year. And total supply, about the same as we had this year. So on the supply side, it looks like, you know, kind of the potential for a third consecutive year of about the same. I think there is room for improvement on the consumption side. I've penciled in kind of a 50 million bushel increase in consumption in the major categories, exports, feed and residual, and ethanol, and a 20 million bushel increase in other processing uses of corn, so that we'd get about 170 million bushel increase. And that would reduce our year-ending stocks down to about 1.6, still just above that threshold that I have in mind of 1.5. And that probably would give us some modest price strength during the upcoming marketing year. 385 at this point is what I've penciled in. Obviously, there's a lot of uncertainty about that balance sheet, and I want to talk just briefly about that when we conclude here. But the expectation at this point, certainly reflected in the market, is another year of ample supplies and ample carryover stocks. Soybeans, we did see acreage flatten out in 2015, but acreage was less than intended. We also ended up with about 2 million acres of prevent plant soybeans in 2015. Like corn, we've had three consecutive years of good soybean yields, right at trend in 2013, and well above our calculated trend in both 15 and 16. So that means that we've had very large soybean crops 2 years running, you know, approaching now that 4 billion bushel mark on soybeans. USDA, as with corn, will finalize that estimate on January 12th. We'll see whether there's any significant changes. Certainly, I would not anticipate that. Certainly on the acreage side, perhaps the yield number will be tweaked just a little bit, but I don't think it will change the basic idea that we have a very large crop in 2015. We have seen a fairly decent run-up in the domestic crush of soybeans. This is being led by soybean meal demand, both domestically with the increase in livestock numbers and with decent export demand for soybean meal. So we're pushing our domestic crush to record levels last year and again this year. I think one of the supportive factors for crush currently and looking forward is the biodiesel market. I know Scott will talk in depth about biofuels later today, so I'm not going to say too much, but if you noticed in last week's USDA balance sheet, they did increase substantially their projection of soybean oil used for biodiesel during the current year. We're watching very closely the EPA's new rulemaking for the RFS, and importantly, Congress's action on the tax extenders, what happens to the biodiesel tax credit, and importantly, whether that is in fact changed from a blender tax credit to a producer tax credit, I think has some pretty strong implications moving forward. And again, Scott will talk more in detail about that, but I think this is a real positive for vegetable oil fats demand moving forward, and soybean oil continues to be the major feedstock for biodiesel production. And so that gives us a little optimism that domestic crush probably will continue to move higher. The questions it raises is if we start crushing soybeans for oil, do we get an oversupply of meal and push those prices to unusually low levels in order to clear the market? So there's some unanswered questions about the dynamics of ramping up vegetable oil production to meet biodiesel production, and we'll see how that unfolds, but I think certainly in the short run that would be a positive development for soybean prices. Exports extremely large last year. We are seeing some weakness this year for the same reasons that we are in corn. Very large South American crops, some disadvantage in the currency markets so that we have started off the year very slowly on corn, on soybean exports and export sales. But we're clearly on track to reach the USDA projection. I think unlike corn, we're still a little bit queasy about whether we can get to the 1.75 billion bushels. I think soybean exports are right on track to where they need to be to reach the USDA projection. South American production obviously will have some role in our exports during the last half of the year. Right now, production in that part of the world is expected to be about the same as it was in 2015. So that, yes, competition will remain large, but at this juncture, it doesn't appear that it will be increasing from what we had this past year. We've experienced these strong exports primarily because of Chinese demand for soybeans, increased rapidly over the last decade. There is some sign that is beginning to plateau just a little bit. So you look at the year-over-year projection, this year is relatively small. We don't expect that to turn down, but I think there is reason to think that this could continue to plateau at these pretty high levels as the Chinese economy cools just a bit and livestock demand cools as well. So we don't see as much growth in Chinese demand this year, and we see more competition from South America. Thus, we're experiencing a bit of a downturn in export demand. And that gives us a projection of a very large carryover of soybeans, larger than we've had since 2006-07, so about a decade high on soybean stocks. And that's pushed prices to much lower levels. So for the year, last year, about $10 average on soybeans. The midpoint of the USDA's projection this year is $8.90. Their projection is in a pretty wide range, as you might expect. Prices to date through the first 3.5 months of the marketing year, we've been right at that average, just below $9. So the projections suggest that we'll see pretty flat soybean prices moving forward. Again, doing the same thing on the balance sheet here. The first column is just a summary of the numbers we just went through, showing that 465 million bushel carryover of soybeans, an $8.90 average price. What might we expect in 2016? On the acreage side, there's a lot of difference of opinion about how producers are going to respond to lower soybean prices. I've penciled in a fairly sizable increase in soybean acreage only because our plantings last year fell so far below intentions. So assuming that we don't have the kind of spring we had last year and we don't have the prevent plant, I think we will see an increase in soybean acreage. That 84.5 does not get us all the way back to what was intended in 2015. I think we will lose some cropland acreage nationally because of low prices, but it likely will give us an increase over what we planted this year.
You're listening to the presentation Darrell Good made from the Illinois Farm Economics Summits earlier in the month of December. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
What can we say about yield? Again, after 2 years of extremely high yields, a trend yield would be much lower than what we've had the last 2 years. 45.5 bushels per acre is our calculation of trend. That would give us a much smaller soybean crop, more acres, lower yield, but 3.8 billion versus almost 4 billion this year. However, we would start with much larger stocks of soybeans than we did last year. And so our supply, even with a smaller crop, this kind of balance sheet says we would have 100 million bushels larger supply of soybeans than we had last year for the marketing year. I'm willing to pencil in a fairly large increase in the domestic crush. I've added 35 million bushels, basically because of strong meal demand and increasing soybean oil demand. Bring some of our exports back, add 60 million bushels there. So we get about 100 million bushel increase in consumption, but it doesn't change our bottom line very much. We still have a very large carryover of soybeans.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
This is Illinois Public Media. More now with Darrell Good and his price outlook.
It's kind of a bit frustrating when you put the balance sheet together. You say reduce production by 170 million bushels, increase consumption by 100 million, and you actually increase carryover stocks. And so that would give us a price, I think, about where we had this year is what I would pencil in, about $8.90. Give or take a bit, and that's about where the market is right now. So then we kind of end by second guessing yourself in terms of these projections, recognizing that it's very early. I want to emphasize that the projections for 2016 and beyond are based on a couple very important assumptions. One is that the projected large South American crops actually do materialize in 2016. It assumes that we have trend yields in the U.S. in 2016. And it also assumes that we continue to have a bit of a exchange rate disadvantage in the export market. Given those assumptions, then I view the price projections here of 385 and 890, I would consider those to be conservative price forecasts for a couple reasons. One, we are seeing some threats to crop production outside of the U.S. already. We know South Africa is, while not a major exporter these days, experiencing some very dry weather, and production estimates there continue to decline. We are seeing less than ideal weather in parts of South America, particularly Brazil. Perhaps those large crops will not materialize as projected. And importantly, I think there may be some elevated risk on the yield side in the U.S. in 2016. And that would be related to the very strong El Nino weather phenomenon that we're currently experiencing. Again, it's hard to get a consensus out of the climate community in terms of what El Nino means for U.S. growing conditions. But the last two strong El Ninos suggest that if we do see kind of a quick demise of the El Nino in early 2016. There has been some history of some stressful summer weather in the U.S., typically late summer. So we're not going to know much for a while, but I would just couch it in terms of risk, saying at this juncture I would see the risk of yields below trend higher than the risk of yields above trend in 2016. And also, as I alluded to, with the more aggressive biodiesel production, particularly if we get a producer tax credit on biodiesel, I think that's going to be a bit friendly to the soybean complex. And also, maybe optimistically, say there is probably opportunity for a little stronger economic growth here in the U.S. in the year ahead than what we have experienced the last 3 or 4 years. So all in all, I would view the price projections again as mostly status quo, but a bit conservative, with the idea that we could be experiencing shorter crops and a bit higher prices next year.
That's Darrell Good from this year's Illinois Farm Economic Summit. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.